We're in a series of messages from the book of Joshua, and so I'll have you turn there in your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 3, where the theme of the book, as we're looking at it, is that of vision and victory, seeing God at work in our time and in our lives, and obeying Him, following Him, entering into the victory that He has in store for us. Now, one of the challenges of missing last Sunday means that I was sitting on this sermon for 2 weeks. So it's just amazing how when you prepare and study passage of God's Word like this, it seems like every other passage I read in my devotional reading and my preparation for other things, everything fits into it, you know, so it just keeps feeding it. So just watch out. There's a whole lot here. There just really is. And this story just contains so many spiritual truths that really do cross over into our lives. And just to kind of begin, you'll notice down in the notes, kind of in the middle there, I asked the question about what are the obstacles that you are facing in your life. And I really want you to think about that this morning, because the application for the lesson from God's Word is going to relate to that. Identify in your life those obstacles, those challenges that you're facing, the difficulties that stand between you and you, what you understand to be what God has for you. I know they're there. They're in every Christian's life. We all face trials and difficulties and hardships and obstacles. What are the ones that you're facing? It's faith in God. It is laying hold of the promises of God's Word that enable you to cross over, to pass through that obstacle to the victory that God has in store for you. George Mueller, writing on this subject, says that the obstacles of the Christian faith, the trials, the difficulties, and the defeats, are the very food of faith. What does he mean by that? What he means is there's a sustenance, there's a strengthening that comes into your life and your faith in Christ through those things that you would recognize as obstacles. God makes opportunities for the strengthening, the sustaining of your faith. You remember it was James who wrote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith is what's going to produce perseverance in your life." We don't usually think of these obstacles as pure joy. We usually see them quite differently. What are those obstacles in your life? May God give you a new vision, a new lifting of your faith, that you might cross over into His victory. Let's read together from Joshua chapter 3. We're really going to look at this whole section, Joshua 3 and 4, but we're going to begin with our reading in Joshua 3, verse 1. Joshua started early the next morning, and he left the Achaia Grove with all the Israelites, and they went as far as the Jordan, and they stayed there before the crossing. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priests, you must break camp and follow it. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the Ark. Don't go near it, so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow." And then he said to the priests, "Take the Ark of the Covenant and go on ahead of the people." So they carried the Ark of the Covenant, and they went ahead of them. Let's pause here and ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Lord, we come this morning desiring that You would instruct our faith today, that You would challenge us, Lord, that You would strengthen our vision of what You are doing in our lives, in our families, in Your church, and in the world. Lord, call us to consecrate ourselves this morning. Call us to a new level of commitment and dedication, that we would yield ourselves afresh this morning. Lord, we desire to see You do glorious things in our midst. Lord, we look to You today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Walking with Christ will take you places you have never been before. And you're going to do things that you have never done before. Do you find that statement this morning exciting or scary? The fact that God is going to take you, that walking with Christ is going to take you places you've never been before. Is that exciting or scary? I'm not going to answer it for you. It is an issue of perspective, though, isn't it? We learn to view the circumstances of our life in different ways. But when we learn to view those circumstances through the lens of faith, then obstacles become opportunities. Opportunities for God's glory. Opportunities to see God at work. In fact, that's the reason for the instruction, those kind of specific instruction that was given to the children of Israel in this text. They were told, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourself and the ark. Don't go near it. And here's the reason why. So that you can see the way to go. You haven't traveled this way before. It's an interesting statement. Take the part, you haven't traveled this way before. Really, in the text, there's two ways to interpret that. There are two ways to look at it. Actually, both of them appear to be true. You've never traveled this way before, meaning they've never gone into the Jericho plain before. They've never been in that part of Canaan before. They don't know what to expect. It's a strange place. It's a new place for them. And new places can be unsettling. I mean, all of us know that. When you get there, you don't know what next. And neither would the children of Israel. They have never been there before. They didn't know the direction to go, so they needed to stay back far enough for the ark so that all could see. The second meaning of that phrase, you've never gone this way before, you've never done this before, really it'd be another way to translate it, to understand it. You have never traveled this way before. You're going to do this a new way. What's the new way? Well, previously, when the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, they always traveled following what? It wasn't following the ark. It was following a pillar, wasn't it? It was a pillar of fire at night. It was a pillar of cloud during the day. Throughout the whole ministry of Moses, this was the sign of God's presence. But now, under Joshua, under a new leader, in a new time, they're going to travel a new way. And the way they're going to travel into the conquest and throughout the period of the conquest is not following a pillar of cloud, because that's not there any longer. And now they're going to follow the ark of the Lord. And that's going to lead them. They're going to do it a new way. We serve a God of the new thing. And He is always doing new things among us and new things through us. But we don't like change. That's the problem. We like to do things the way we've always done it. I'm sure there was somebody in the crowd that day that says, we've never done it that way before. So we have this instruction. Walk in such a way that you can see the ark. See, if the people all crowded around the ark, then only those who were in front would be able to see what was going on. Only those who were in front would be able to see what God was doing. But they were given instructions that made it possible for everyone to see. I said that instruction also speaks to the need of each member of the nation themselves to keep their eyes on God. See what I'm going with that? I think we have a tendency, we look to certain leaders and we are attracted to certain leaders, and then we begin to follow God kind of vicariously through those certain leaders. And that is not the way that the life in Christ is to be. The life in Christ is that we are to each be in union with Christ, and we're each to be in communion with Christ. We are to walk with Him and learn of Him and be instructed by Him and His Word personally, directly, keeping our eyes on Christ. Yes, God gives us leaders to encourage us and challenge us, but our relationship with God is personal, not vicarious. We don't seek Him through others. We seek Him directly. We have been given the opportunity and the ability to enter in through the veil, to enter into the Holy of Holies and to come before our God personally. To stay close to Him, to keep following Him. Like Israel, follow the presence of God. Get on with what He is doing. Look for Him at work. See Him at work. Don't be content with just hearing about what He's doing, hearing how He's blessing others, or hearing how He's serving through blessing and loving through others, but be part of what He's doing. Keep our eyes on God by spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, spending time before Him in prayer, learning of Him and from Him. In this story, we see that the Word of God prepares us for what lies ahead. What is the ark? Well, it was this golden box that God had instructed Moses to build as a very specific box that represented the presence of God, the reign of God. For on the top of the box was the mercy seat, the cherubim with their wings outstretched. It was titled the mercy seat. Isn't that a wonderful title, by the way? The throne of God called the mercy seat. I mean, it could be called the judgment seat. That would be a very different connotation altogether. But it's the mercy seat and represents the presence of God, but it also contains the Word of God, doesn't it? That ark contained the Ten Commandments, an instruction from God of what it is to live in a covenant relationship with a holy God. Those instructions taught the children of Israel how to love God and how to love one another. God gives them instruction through His Word, and He gives them instruction on how they're to prepare for what God was about to do. Right, verse 8, Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow." And Joshua told all the Israelites, "Come closer. Listen to the words of the Lord your God. For He has said, 'You will know that the living God is among you, and He will certainly dispossess before you the Canaanites and the Hethites and the Hevites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the whole earth goes ahead of you into the Jordan,'" that's verse 11. Notice that phrase, the Lord of the whole earth, "goes before you into the Jordan. Now choose 12 men, verse 12. Choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And when the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of the whole earth, comes to rest in the Jordan's water, its water will be cut off. And the water flowing downstream will stand up in mass." So here's the instruction God's giving. It's the Word of God to the children of Israel, delivered to them. For they needed that Word. They had never been here before. They had never traveled this way before. They needed instruction from God, and they knew it. And here we're told what's going to happen. Now, I just want to point out at this point, before this moment, they did not know how this all was going to come out. They didn't know what God had in store for them. They just knew that God was going to do something wonderful. That means that they had arrived at the Jordan. And as you read on down through the text, you'll see that they have arrived at the Jordan during the flood stage. during the time of the year when Jordan is overflowing its banks. And they've come here, and they've camped out on the shore of the river for 3 days. Think about that. They're exposed. They're in a place, you know, they've come to the very threshold of the promised land. This is what they've been looking forward to. They're excited about it. But when they get there, all of a sudden, this is the ford. This is where you normally cross over, but the river's in flood stage. There's no way to get across it. What are we going to do now? The Jordan that was going to be the entry into the promise of God has now become the obstacle that is going to keep them out. Not only is it going to keep them out, but it exposes them. Everybody on the other side can see that they're there. There's a whole nation of people that have gathered on the banks of the river. What are they going to do? And they're there for 3 days, the text says, before they're given this instruction. For 3 days, they're just standing around. Can you imagine the conversations that they were having? I mean, it doesn't take much imagination. You've gotten to this point, and don't you think there were groups of people that gathered around that were going to solve this problem? How are we going to get over? Well, let's see. We could build a bridge. Does anybody know how to build a bridge? Maybe we could build some boats. We've got about 1 million people to get over. I'm sure there were all kinds of people that when they began to look at the problem, their solutions were more like, why did we come this way? You know, we could have gone around the Dead Sea. There's another way here, you know. We didn't have to go this way. Or why did God bring us here at this time? Man, if we'd have come 2 months ago, we could have just crossed right on over. You know, you think there was some little armchair quarterbacking going on? I mean, we do that. Haven't you been in that place where you're facing an obstacle and you've been facing it and you're facing it and it's like, God, where's the answer? How am I going to deal with this? What am I going to do? Where's the answer? And for 3 days, there was no answer. And God has instructions. God had given them promises, right? And standing on the banks of the Jordan was a fulfillment of that promise that they were going to enter into the promised land, a promise that God had given them hundreds of years before. But he also had other promises for them in his word. He was delivering from his word instruction for their lives, what to do, how to prepare, how he was going to handle it, instruction that he was going to take care of it. Their need would be to wait upon him and trust his promise. They'd have to do that by faith. Friend, I want you to know this morning, his promises will overcome the most fearsome obstacles in this life of faith you will face. Both the vision and the victories found in the promises of God's word. And just like Joshua and Israel, you have to claim those promises by faith. Those promises speak directly to the needs of our life. We were talking about this Wednesday night. This is kind of how what I meant when I started off, is that it seems like every lesson, every Bible study you're doing kind of fits right in this. And Wednesday night, we were talking about the promises of God. You know, Bible scholars tell us there are 30,000 promises of God in the Bible. 30,000 of them. How many of them do you know? Probably not that many. Not 30,000. But the importance of knowing that is to know that God has given these promises for you. He's made them available for us. And the need is that we would know them, that we would discover them. As we seek him out, we would learn of his promises for our life. Because you know what? There's a promise. I've asked you to identify that obstacle that you're facing, that challenge you're facing, that struggle you're dealing with. There's promises in God's word that deal directly with that need. How are you going to claim it if you don't even know it? So we must seek him at his word. because they speak directly to the needs of our lives. And as we apply them and as we discover them, then those promises of God's word are to be shared with others. I mean, that's exactly what Joshua does. Joshua meets with the Lord. God has a word for Joshua. Then Joshua then shares that word with the people. You know, he'd gotten up early in the morning, and we'll see as you read Joshua's life, that was his pattern. It seems like it was in those early times that God would speak to Joshua, give him a word, and then Joshua would then go and share that word with others. It wasn't just for himself. He could have, I guess. He could have stood by the bank and said, I know how this is all going to play out. They don't know. You know, let them find out themselves. But no, Joshua shares the promises of God. That all the people would not only enjoy those promises, but be able to live by them. Now, I point it out because I believe that God is leading us to those obstacles, whatever the obstacles you're facing, because He's preparing us for something else. He's teaching us something. He's increasing our faith, and He's preparing us for the challenges ahead. And it may be a challenge not just for you, it may be for someone else, because you see, you are leading. If you're following Christ, then you are a leader. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't think of myself as a leader. You don't need to think of yourself as a leader. You are a leader. Because if you're following Christ, there are those who are watching you, whether it's family or neighbors or friends or co-workers. They're watching your life, and you're giving leadership. You're showing them by example and by your words what it is to know the blessings of God and to experience a life of faith. So if you are a leader, then you want to lead and point people in the right direction. So to do that, you have to stay close to God. You have to stay close to His Word. You have to live in obedience to it. You have to keep your eyes on Him. And so it was here that the people of God were to keep their eyes on the ark of God. That would make all the difference between this River Jordan being an obstacle or an opportunity. The promises of God's word do require faith of us. This was a test of faith for them. It was meant to strengthen their faith, because you see, they were just entering into the conquest. The walls of Jericho were going to require great faith for them to obey God. The battles that were before them were going to require great faith, but God was preparing them and preparing their faith for what lay ahead. That they would see the wonders of God, that they would know that God was the God of the whole earth, that their vision would be enlarged, that their hearts would be prepared for victory. But I'll promise you that standing on the bank of the Jordan, none of them were thinking this. All they were thinking about was the problem rushing before them in flood stage. So I've asked you to consider your own problems. Do you see them in light of the truth that God is at work in your life, preparing you for His service, preparing you for what might lie ahead, preparing you to be an encouragement to others, to be a comfort to others? And if you are walking in Christ, you can expect that you're going to face many obstacles. In fact, if you find yourself on a path with no obstacles, I can pretty much promise you it's not leading you anywhere good. And if you're following Christ, the obstacles will be obvious. Again, let me just come back to that 3-day wait and ask you, why did God have them wait for 3 days? It was His timetable, right? Because they were living in obedience to Him. I could take the time to go through Scripture and show you that time after time, this is God's pattern. He often brings His children to a dilemma of faith, a challenge of faith, a crisis of belief. Henry Blackaby called it. God puts us in that crisis. Why? So that we would recognize the impossibility of the situation. They had 3 days to they had 3 days to just think about the immensity of the dilemma. That it was impossible. Why? Because in that condition, with that understanding, then they would see the wonders of God. When they came to the conclusion that they couldn't do it, that only God could do it, then they would understand that this was a miracle of God. This was the power of God at work. So friend, when you are faced with a dilemma, don't minimize it. Take full measure of the trouble. Don't turn from it. Don't be like Linus. One day in a comic strip, Linus and Charlie Brown are walking along and chatting, and Linus says, "I don't like to face my problems head on. I think the best way to solve a problem is to avoid them. In fact, this is my distinct philosophy of life. No problem is so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from." Well, I would remind you that Linus was talking like a little boy. We are to grow up in the faith, and that we're to take full stock of the dilemmas that we face. To recognize that this is impossible. I cannot handle this in my own strength. I cannot do this. I need God. And when we come to that place, God will show up when we come to that place in faith. So what obstacles of faith, of your faith, are you facing today? What are they? Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's a financial struggle, the loss of a job or a huge debt. Maybe it's a relationship that's fractured or a family struggle or an abiding grief in your life. It could be so many things. Or as I stand here this morning, I know that the children of God, that you are facing obstacles, just like Israel was on the banks of the Jordan. Their victory and yours was and is dependent first on the Word of God and then our obedience to it. As they arrived, I mean, God had not told them how they were going to deal with the obstacle at first, but they first must obey. Or put another way, unless we get our feet wet, we will not see the power of God in our lives. See, they had to be willing to step into the river. It's at flood stage, remember. You don't just step into a sweeping torrent. No, they did it. They stepped in faith. Just like Moses, you remember when he was standing in front of the burning bush and his staff turned into a snake, God said, "Reach out and pick it up by the tail." Again, that's not something you do. You don't pick up a deadly snake by the tail. You just don't do it. But Moses did in faith. He took God at his word. And so it was that the priests who were carrying the ark, standing at the river bank, when God said move forward, they had to take those steps in faith. And each step that the priests took opened the water before them until they were standing in the middle of the river on dry ground. What a sight! The wonders of God that all the people could see. They could see what was happening. They could see the river piling up. Must have been an awesome sight. As they looked the other way, the river's receding down into the Dead Sea, and it's dry ground as far as they can see. And so they crossed on dry ground, the text says. They didn't even have to take their sandals off. I mean, they were just able to cross right on over. They walked right by the ark, and the priests were standing there in the middle of the river. And then when the whole nation gets across and everything that they had, I mean, they brought everything, by the way. They left nothing behind. because they were entering into God's promise. And when they passed by, then read in a few minutes that the 12 men were sent out into the river to pick up great stones to make a memorial, and they also made a memorial in the middle of the river. And then when the priests walked out of the river with the ark, the water flow resumed. And God had showed up in a wondrous way. Friend, He wants to do the same in your life. He wants to show up in your life in such a way that He receives glory. But remember, the people of faith devoted themselves to God first in obedience. God had given them instructions about everything. He told Joshua what to do. He instructed them on how to prepare. He told the priests on when to enter the river and when to leave. He told the water to roll back and when to return. Every element was revealed by the Word of God that the people could obey Him completely. And when everything worked out just as God had said and just as God has planned, then God received the glory for it all. It's the vision of our faith that enable them to move in a way that expected to see God at work. And the steps of obedience give victory over impossible obstacles. So the people began in obedience by consecrating themselves. That means they repented of their sin. They yielded themselves to God. They began afresh to follow Him and to serve Him in this new way. And it may be that that's the step you need to take this morning. Maybe it is a time of consecration for you that is needed. A recognition that you've let the obstacle keep you from serving the Lord. You've let this problem keep you from obeying the Lord. No, you begin with obedience. In faith, you trust Him. And then you take those steps of faith that your communion with God might be strengthened. Now, let me just pause and say, there is a difference between your union with Christ and your communion with Christ. I mean, those words may sound very similar, but there's a tremendous difference. Right? Your union with Christ is what Christ has done for you. He has prepared that for you. He went to the cross and died for you so that you could enter into union with Him. That union is secure. Now, your communion with Christ, though, is related to your obedience to His Word. When you're disobedient to Him, when you're not walking with Him, you're not communing with Him any further. Now, the union is still secure because that is secure in Christ. But your communion, what is that? Where is that in your life today? Are you walking close to Him that you recognize His presence and you sense? See, here's the reality. When we're out of communion with Him, what do we question? We question our union with Him. We begin to doubt that relationship is secure because we've not been communing with Him. We begin to do things in our own strength. And we say we're serving Him, but we're really just doing it for our own purposes. And it's weak and wasted in many ways because we're not in communion with Him. I read one writer who illustrated it this way. He said, it's like standing in a sailboat and blowing into the sails trying to make progress. I mean, you're just going to wear yourself out and you're not going to get anywhere. No, you sit down and you set the sail to catch the wind because in communion with Christ, you're trusting in Christ. You're learning to depend upon Him as you learn to obey Him. And in your dependence upon Him, the wind of His grace fills those sails. Israel was learning. Their union with God was secure, but they were learning to commune with God and to see Him at work and to follow Him. And that's exactly where you and I are. We have to learn communion with Christ. It comes through obedience, trusting Him, depending on Him. See, union is the root. Communion is the fruit. When you're not seeing fruit, it doesn't mean that you're not rooted in Christ. It means you're not in communion with Christ. Seek Him afresh today. Begin with that consecration of your life to Him afresh, that you might see fruit again in your life. You might experience communion again. That you might see Him at work and recognize and experience His victory in your life. And then, I'm out of time, but you can read this on your own. Remembering what God has done strengthens us for the next obstacle in our path. Friend, don't waste the lessons that God teaches you. You know, each of us are face trials, obstacles. We face them in faith and we experience God's victory in our life. Don't forget what God has done. I mean, God gave instruction to Joshua to that point. In chapter 4 and verse 9, Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and the stones are there to this day, the text says. And then he set 12 stones in Gilgal, and the stones are there to this day. Two heaps of stone, one that could be seen and one that couldn't be seen. There's wonderful instruction just in that. Those stood as instruction of the faithfulness of God for generation and generation. That which was not seen, maybe it was just there to remind us of the unseen realities of God's blessing. You know, there are many of God's blessings that we cannot see through the eyes of our flesh. I mean, even just to consider our salvation, we don't see that, but we know that it's real. We know that it's there. And just because we can't see Him doesn't mean it's less significant or real. I hope we remember that. I hope we remember the moving of God's Spirit in our life. And we've experienced the filling of God's Spirit for the tasks that are beyond us. You can't record those kinds of things on videotape to remember them. No, you just remember them by rehearsing Him, by giving testimony of what God has done. And then there's the rocks on the bank that give testimony of the wonderful works of God. We see life change in others, and we can give testimony to that fact. God said in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? Verse 22, you'll tell your children, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until they had crossed over, just as the Lord God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us and we crossed over. This is so that the people of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. The memorials, the remembrances of the faithfulness of our God are vital to our spiritual growth and progress. That we share them, that we tell others, and that God receives the glory in them. And the obstacles that we face today are the means by which God's preparing us for what we're going to face tomorrow. Face those obstacles in faith. Trust Him. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're struggling with. God knows. But I know that God wants you to trust Him, to seek Him today, to obey Him, to consecrate yourself to Him afresh, so that He will receive the glory in the victory He's prepared for you. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we confess we're ignorant of the promises that You have prepared for us. Lord, we come this morning to consecrate this week before us, to set it aside on the first day of this week, that we would serve You in these days, that we'd serve You in these hours that You give us. And Lord, we know that there are obstacles to that service. There are things that we're facing that are hindering us and maybe keeping us from serving You as we should. Lord, we look to You today. for grace and strength. Lord, we're trusting you for the solution. We're asking you to hold up that river. But Lord, we're waiting on your instruction. We're going to trust you. We come to consecrate ourselves before you today. We ask that you would work wonders among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.